so many things to remember every time I come up here. If I got my clicker on, or I've got the microphone on, and if it's clipped in the right place, and my collar is all akimbo. But it's too hot with those masks on to wear this jacket all the time. I just want y'all to know that. It's good to see everybody this morning. Good to see at least 3/4 of your faces. If I can just get my computer to work now, we're in good shape. Hoping everybody's experiencing a much better live stream this morning. We finally got the new camera system in place. We've got these temporary lights. These are not going to be permanent lights. They're just for now because we're having a hard time seeing a lot of our brethren when they're standing up here. It's so dark on the other stream. So now we've got the new stream and we've got these new lights, but eventually we're going to have some lights dropping down from the ceiling, I think, that are better suited for the purpose and not so hot. In the meantime, if I start sweating, just think I'm really preaching up a storm here, and appreciate that as best you can. Don't feel too sorry for me unless I pass out on the stage. And at that point, then you come pick me up, right? Or, well, just let me lie there because you can't pick me up if you tried. So, all right. All right. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to work our way through chapter 2 and verse 7 this morning as we continue to look at the pastoral epistles. And especially now, we're in this wonderful book that's called 2 Timothy, which has so much information for us that we need to know for times of trouble like these. So far, we've been dealing with the letter that... Let me get my clicker out here. So far, we've been dealing in the letter with the idea that we need to be unashamed, folks, when it comes to preaching the gospel. We don't need to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, no matter what everybody else in the world is saying. We've been called to a holy calling, and because we're called to a holy calling, we're to be holy people. At all times, we're to remain in righteousness as much as we possibly can. God can save us God can save up for us the eternal fruit that we're storing up for Him on this earth as we're storing up treasure for heaven. God is able to hold that for us until the day of judgment, regardless of what else is going on in the world. Then we also have looked at the idea that we must retain the form of sound doctrine that has been delivered to us in Scripture. We must be adamant about understanding and preaching and teaching the truth and only the truth and nothing else as we preach and teach. Then the final thing that we've looked at so far is the gospel is a treasure which we must guard through the Holy Spirit of God. It is a treasure that we must make sure does not get perverted or changed in any way, shape, or form. That's what Paul rather has told Timothy so far in the lesson. Today we're going to continue our thoughts. We're going to look at how vital it is for us to remain faithful regardless of what is happening in the world around us. The world is going to change at different times. The character of the world is going to change at different times. The feelings of the world are going to change from different times, but we must remain steadfast all the time. We must never be faithless, even if we're faced with death. Death for the cause of the gospel, we must never be faithless, even if we're faced with the death of ourselves because of our standing up for the gospel of Christ. We must entrust the gospel to others who likewise will preach and teach others so that the gospel will never die off the face of the earth. We need to make sure that we're always involved in teaching and preaching the gospel to folks who will then preach and teach it to other folks. Then finally, we're going to learn this morning that the suffering for the gospel is likely for us, but we must remain patient and steadfast in the face of persecution even if it comes. I want you to remember where Paul is as this letter is being written. Paul is in prison for the last time. He's been imprisoned by Nero, the horrible and ungodly Caesar of Rome. He's been subjected to some terrible situations so far. His life will just get worse from that point on this earth. But he remains faithful till death, and that's a wonderful thing for us to remember. This morning our text is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 2, verse 7, chapter 2 and verse 7. So if you would follow along with me as I read the text. Paul says, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you know very well the services he rendered to me at Ephesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Finally, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, this is a really interesting passage of Scripture because he's telling Timothy at the tail end of a very strong portion of chapter 1, he's telling him how important it is for him to preach the gospel and never to turn his back on him. He spends some time to let him know that some folks are not holding that to be a good idea. Some folks are abandoning the gospel. So what I'm going to talk this morning about being Christians in times of unrest. All right? We all realize how much turmoil is going on in our world right now, in our country right now, especially how much turmoil is taking place between different folks in this country who are feeling disenfranchised in various ways, and some of them are feeling tormented and persecuted in many ways. And as we're trying to find answers to all these things, we will have some times of great turmoil. But among other things that are being reported right now is this, this matter of folks tearing down statues. Now, it's not my intent to get into the politics of that. I don't want to tell you whether I approve or disapprove. That's not my business here. I'm trying to stay above that idea. I'm trying to avoid getting into that discussion right now because it's going to be a different discussion depending on who you're talking to, all right? But in this particular idea, the reason that I want to bring this up at this time is because this past week, I noticed that now there's some different kinds of statues being targeted, and that's statues of that are supposed to be a statue of Jesus Christ. And the whole point is that these are some that are considered to be too European-looking, and they're being torn down and targeted as being needed to be removed. Now, this hits a little bit closer to home with me, not because I care about the statues. I really think Jesus would be horrified if he knew how many statues had been made purporting to be him. He didn't ever want any statues to be made. He didn't want anybody bowing down before him or worshiping these statues or certainly looking at them as though they really were him. We have no clue what Jesus looks like. We have no clue what he looked like except that he was of a Middle Eastern background. It's all that we know about Jesus and his looks, all right? So it's not about that. It's just that in this particular case, people are becoming more emboldened at all times to attack Christianity in general. And that makes me concerned. It makes me concerned because there could come a time again when Christianity could fall on tough times, where it could be we could be viewed as folks who are not what we ought to be, where we will be viewed as being distasteful folks or disgraceful folks or even illegal, that Christianity could actually become illegal again, right? We see all the time people attacking Christianity and attacking Christians in general, usually from the media and usually through words and not through actions, but there are some places in this world already where Christians are being physically abused as well. So we need to always keep that in our mind. Just because we in this country right now are at an uneasy peace, but we're still at peace, doesn't mean it'll always be that way, and we have to be ready when that time comes that it's not. As Paul is talking about his situation in Rome, and as he is facing the tortures and the persecutions of Nero, and Christians all across the world are facing that as well, this is a very real conversation for Paul. He has to help people understand that sometimes when we're faced with great persecution, we're going to have to make a decision what we're going to do. Are we going to remain faithful to Christ, or are we going to deny Christ Jesus so that we can have a peaceful time in the world that we live in? How did Christians fare when faced with one of their greatest leaders, the most prolific reader as far as writing was concerned that they had in the first century church was Paul? How did they fare when Paul was imprisoned and repeatedly imprisoned and found a lot of time on his hands as he was in prison, not able to be free and preaching the gospel? I just want you to realize that many Christians fared pretty well, but many of them did not. Some of them did not fare well at all. In fact, as Paul starts this letter, or continues the letter as we looked at it today, he says that all who were in Asia abandoned him. All who were in Asia abandoned him. Now, I don't want you to think that all of a sudden there's a sudden apostasy in the church in Asia, the churches in Asia Minor, and everybody in those seven churches that we know of from Scripture, all of them had just abandoned Paul and nobody was following him. It's not what he means at all. What he means is everyone who was with him at the time when he was in Rome, when they were helping him in his imprisonment, when they were helping him to do the things that he needed to do when he could not get out of prison himself, those folks had all abandoned him and left, and they fled. Among them are two men who we know only here in the Scripture. We only know them because of the infamy of their cowardice or whatever it was that caused them to, to leave Paul. But Phygellus and Hermogenes are the two guys that we know by name. Their names live on in infamy from this time on and will continue until the time ends, Christ comes again, for the act of abandonment and shame that they brought upon Paul. That's all that we know. Others, though, lived up to their name, did pretty well. Why did these two guys and all the others in Asia leave Paul? Well, I think it's likely that there's two possible reasons for that. Number one is, first, they had shame because of Paul's frequent imprisonments. They were ashamed of Paul himself. I gather that because Paul asked Timothy repeatedly, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of me and do not be ashamed of Christ. I'll be ashamed of the chains that I wear because of Christ. He has to tell Timothy that again and again. I can only suppose the reason he had to tell them that was because some folks were abandoning Paul because of their shame of Paul and his chains. You can imagine what it would be like if your best leader is on death row, right? We can relate to that. How would you feel today if I was suddenly arrested for whatever reason, thrown in prison, and then they started bringing up all kinds of stuff about what I was doing and telling you things that were totally lies? And so, you know, you'd have a hard time maybe believing in me as well. I think possibly that it was even worse for Paul because Paul was so strong in the gospel faith, so such a strong preacher. But now he's been in prison for several times, and he's in his final imprisonment as far as he knows, as far as that proves to be true. He's in his final imprisonment. But I think, secondly, the reason that they were abandoning Paul was because of fear for their own personal safety. Right? If you came to visit Paul in Rome, you had to admit that you were a Christian to visit Paul. Christians are viewed with great distaste at that period of time. They were viewed as the cause of the fire that burned down most of Rome during that period of time, or much of Rome, which was probably actually set by Nero himself, but he used the Christians as scapegoats for that. But for whatever reason, you don't want to be around Paul now because Paul is anathema for you. If you're caught with Paul, you could be arrested yourself. You could be put in prison. You could be killed. You could be put to death in one of the horrible ways that Caesar found to put people to death. We have documentation of the wickedness of Nero, and it's terrible stuff from early historians such as Eusebius and Tacitus and others. I've compiled some of their writings this morning in just a few short statements about what Nero was doing. One of the things that he loved to do was to take Christians and cover them in animal skins, have them torn to pieces by his dogs. He had a set of dogs that were special for that. That was done sometimes in the arena, sometimes just for his own amusement. Many of the Christians faced the persecution that they faced because of the mobs that were running free in Rome at that period of time. The Caesars would actually use the mobs to bring about their own justice. So they were burned alive at stakes sometimes. They were burned alive as torches. Many were beheaded in official beheadings, and many of them were crucified on crosses. Paul himself was beheaded, as far as we know from tradition. Peter was crucified upside down, according to tradition, because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord upright. Many were burned as torches in Nero's garden for his garden parties, or along the streets as just a warning to others. Many were stampeded or otherwise killed by wild beasts. One woman named Blondina was attached to the horns of a bull, and she was in her 80s when that happened to her. She was stampeded around an arena until she was broken up in pieces and died. That's just some of the things that we can read in the histories that took place because of Christians were Christians, because the times had turned against the Christians at that period of time. It could happen again. It's not unreasonable for it to happen again. It's not unexpected for it to happen again, because Jesus told us that we'll face persecutions as Christians. Are you ready for those kinds of things as they come? Will you remain faithful to Christ? That's the question we want to know today. Seek out Paul was dangerous. There's only one person that Paul mentions at this period of time that remained faithful to him at that period of time in Rome. That was this man, Onesiphorus, who dared to know Paul, who went to be with him, who sought him out carefully when he got to Rome to find out where he was, went to visit him and took care of his needs as best he could. The question is, what happened to Onesiphorus? We don't have any other news about him either. Some folks will suppose, because Paul speaks of him in the past tense, that he had already died by the time that Paul was writing about him. That's very possible, but not necessarily necessary. But certainly it could have been possible. He could have been arrested for being with Paul and could have been put to death for being with Paul as well, for being a Christian. We know a couple of other folks who would spend time with Paul. One was Luke, and Luke, of course, writes his Gospels following these interviews, but he was spared, apparently. We just don't know. We don't know what happened to Onesiphorus. He could have been set free later and went back to his family, but Paul certainly prays that God will bless his family. Doesn't say bless him, but bless his family. Then Paul says, I hope that you'll give him a good reception in heaven when he gets to heaven. So it seems like maybe he might have already passed away. It's hard to say. In the meantime, there is at least one faithful person who continued with Paul, who served Paul faithfully as best he could, and made things as best that he possibly could for Paul while he was in prison. So Paul is writing to Timothy saying, I want you to be the same kind of guy. I want you to be like Onesiphorus and not like Hermogenes and Phygellus. I don't want you to be like those guys who abandoned me. So he's going to give a charge to Timothy, and this charge is going to be very strong. This charge for Timothy to be very strong. He says, Timothy, I want you to be strong. I want you to be strong in the faith. I want you to remain with me, and I want you to come to me as soon as you can. We'll get to the invitation for Timothy to join him later on in our lessons together. But in the meantime, we just want you to understand that Timothy had to be strong in the faith. So he tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And folks, grace is the thing that's going to carry us through tough times like these. And when we're in rough times, if we're in turmoil, especially if Christians start to fall in hard times again, if Christianity falls in hard times, grace of Christ is what we're going to need to carry us through. We're going to need our faith, first of all, but we're going to need the grace of Jesus to make us strong. We're going to get that grace through the prayers that we offer up to Christ. We're going to find the strength that we need through our prayers and through our fellowship with one another. So we need to realize we're going to have to be faithful even if things turn against us. We must trust in Christ to preserve us. If not physically, then at least spiritually, right? There's always the possibility if things turn against Christians, as they sure could in a moment's notice, we never know how long we've got. If they turn against Christianity and people begin to put Christians to death again, we've got to remain faithful even to death if we want to get that crown of life. But in the meantime, we need the grace of Christ to preserve us. We need to make sure that Christ is going to preserve us spiritually, and that's what Paul is promising that that Christ will do even in those difficult times. So in the meantime, what do? We continue to preach the gospel, folks. We continue to preach the gospel. Christianity has always been a grassroots movement. That means it spreads best one person to another person to another person. It doesn't spread best from the cathedrals. It spreads best in the catacombs. Spreads best when difficulties come upon us. It spreads best when we remember that we are charged to preach and teach the gospel to one another. Right? That's what Paul will continue to tell Timothy to do, starting in chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Things which you've heard from me was the entire gospel. Paul had preached the entire gospel to Timothy as Timothy was traveling with him from place to place. Timothy had heard that entire gospel preached many, many times. It helped Paul in the establishment of many of the churches of Asia Minor, which were in trouble at that period of time. He had helped him in his own ministry. He had been with him in all those times. He had heard that gospel preached again and again. And now Paul says, you've got to keep on preaching and teaching that gospel. Don't get caught up in the things that are happening in the world around you. Instead, pay attention to your charge. Your charge is to preach and teach the gospel. We need to remember that for ourselves, folks. The world can really suck us in if we're not careful. We can get so caught up with watching the news and figuring out how bad things are, and we can get so down in the mouth about everything that's going on in the world, get so concerned about the things that are happening in our world, that we can forget that we're not even belonging in this world anymore. We don't even belong here. We're just passing through, folks. We're pilgrims on a mission to get to heaven. We don't even belong here in this world. We don't belong in the politics of this world. We don't belong in anything that's going on in this world. We've been freed from that. We've been set free from that. We've been enrolled in heaven already. Right now, we stand in the presence of God on Mount Zion. We're waiting for God to transmute us in our spirits to him. And until that day comes, we need to remember that we're here to preach and teach the gospel. That's what we're here for. All right? Even in times of unrest, we're to spread the gospel one soul at a time. Finding those who are dependable to help in the good fight is what we're looking for. We want to find folks that are able to spread that gospel. We make sure that we are entrusting those to people who will then be faithful to preach the gospel and continue that gospel message. It's going to be true whether the times are good or whether the times are bad. We're going to eventually get to the point where Paul's going to say whether Christianity is in season or out of season doesn't matter. You're still going to preach the gospel. Sometimes folks are going to accept it. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes folks are going to be glad you're a Christian. Sometimes they're going to hate you for being a Christian. But either way, we are Christians, and we need to be preaching and teaching the gospel. All right? Paul's going to finish, and we're going to finish this morning with three illustrations of what it means to be patient in your fight for the gospel. Right? To be patient. Three illustrations. Verse 3, he begins by saying, I want you to join with me in being a good soldier. Timothy, I want you to join with me in being a good soldier. Paul was suffering as a soldier himself. He wants Timothy to join him in that. Paul oftentimes uses illustrations in which he uses soldiering or weapons or armor or something along that line to discuss the gospel message. And here he does it again. This time he wants to talk about how important it is for us to remember what kinds of soldiers we are. We're not soldiers that are soldiers in the world. We're soldiers that are soldiers for Christ. We're soldiers that are serving God in heaven, right? So he wants us to realize that a soldier does not get embroiled in the affairs of everyday life. He continues to serve his king without distraction. We need to be continually remembering that we don't belong in this world. If things happen to us in this world, we don't belong here. We need to continue to remember that we have been called to follow Christ Jesus in his kingdom. We belong, we're citizens of the kingdom of God at this period of time. That's more important than anything we can ever think about being as Americans or anything else in this country. All right? Second illustration he's going to use is one of an athlete who follows the rules. All right? An athlete who competes in the games has to follow the rules, he says, if he wants to win. Well, the rules that he's talking about are God's rules. And if we want to be successful as Christians, we've got to follow God's rules as Christians. So we don't want to get caught up in cheating as Christians. We don't want to get caught up in being distracted as Christians. We want to make sure that as we're running the race, we continue to run that race and follow the rules, follow God's rules, and live according to God's plan. So that's important for us as well. And the third idea he has is as a farmer who will eventually get to share in his harvest in God's good time, all right? One of the things that takes the most patience, I think, in this world is to be patient as a farmer. You plant your stuff early on, and you wait around for it to grow, and you wait for it to mature, and then eventually you get to harvest it and eat it, and sometimes it takes months for that harvest to take place. And every day you've got to go out there and water, and every day you've got to go out there and weed, and you've got to fertilize, and everything you've got to do. It's just difficult sometimes to be a farmer. I see Philip looking in the back window there. I want to wave at him before I talk about him. He's been growing habanero peppers this year, and he loves those habaneros, but he's very impatient with them. They turned green, and he started plucking them. I said, you got to wait till those get mature for them to be the best. And he said, what do they do? I said, well, they're going to turn orange eventually. Got to wait till they turn orange. So about a week or so ago, he wrote me and says, when are these things going to turn orange? They're still green. They never turn orange. And so I said, you know, it's worth it. I said, be patient, grasshopper. I told him, be patient, grasshopper. It's going to happen eventually. You just got to wait on it. So yesterday, I thought, I better check on them before I wrote, because I was writing this illustration. I thought, I better check and see how they're doing. I said, hey, Philip, have any of your habaneros turned yet? He says, no, just one, no. And then he sent me some pictures of these green habaneros, still green. But I promise you, they're going to turn orange one of these days, and you don't want to eat them until they turn orange. Yes, you can eat them when they're green, and they're still going to be hot, but they're not going to be as good a hot as they are when they're mature. They're not going to have the nice fruity flavor that they have when they're mature, but you got to be patient, wait for that. Same thing is true of our life in this world. If we get distracted, if we get to trying to be too much like the world, if we forget that we're waiting for Christ to return, then we're going to not be as faithful as servants as we should be. What we need to remember is that we are like those farmers. We're waiting patiently for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the most important event that will ever happen in our life, more important than our birth, more important than our death, more important than our baptism, more important than our birthdays, more important than anniversaries, more important than anything that's ever happened to you in your whole life. The day of your going home to be with God is going to be the most important day. So we've got to wait for that day patiently, and we've got to be ready for it when it comes. We've got to be ready for it because we know that we've got to remain strong and faithful. Timothy was not to be in dismay. Paul ends his lesson by saying, don't be in dismay. Don't forget that Christ is going to reveal to you what you need to know to keep you faithful. Timothy was not to quit. He was not to flee. He was not to join those folks who denied Paul. He was not to give in to anything that might cause him to be less than the faithful servant that he should be. Now, he also had to set aright some things that had gotten off in Ephesus where he was preaching. He had to talk to some folks about not preaching and teaching falsehoods. We'll talk about that in the future. But in the meantime, the main thing was Paul just wanted to make sure that he was not going to abandon him at the last minute. So we must never abandon Christ, or we will be abandoned to hell by Christ. That's the final message I want to share with you this morning. Being in Christ Jesus is the most important thing that will ever happen to you. If you're not in Christ Jesus this morning, you need to make things right with Christ as well. I'm going to offer you an invitation at this time as we close the lesson. The invitation is this. The grace of Jesus is what we need. If you don't have the grace of Jesus, if you haven't been saved by Christ, then you're lost in the world and you will eventually be lost in eternity. The grace of Jesus is what we all need to have the hope of eternity with God. So will you come to Jesus this morning and put him on in baptism, confess his name before these brethren, have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism as you were raised up through the waters of baptism in the resurrection with Jesus Christ to walk a new life. Holy Spirit of God will come and live inside you if you're ready to do that for him this morning. From that day forward, then, you'll become a Christian. You'll have to remain faithful until your death if you want to have eternity with God. Can we pray for you this morning? Can we help you? Is there anything we can do to serve you? Let us know all these things at this time. As we stand and as we sing the selected song.